Christ is risen. Good morning and welcome to IPC Zurich on the Sunday after Easter. If you're visiting with us this morning, an especially warm welcome to you. This morning's worship service is going to be a little bit different this morning, a little bit different from our usual Sunday morning service. Good different, though, in case you're wondering. Good different. This morning, our kids are leading the service. You might say we're giving the keys to the kids this morning, and they get to do their thing. So you will see many elements of the worship service this morning conducted by the kids and also oriented to the kids. What will not be different about our worship service this morning, though, is that it will still be worship offered to our Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and it will be worship offered in spirit and in truth. So that's not going to change. Just a little bit about who's doing what and how will change a little bit during this service. What a joy to see so many kids gathered here this morning, and I, for one, am very, very glad to be part of the service of praise and thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior. Please join me now in prayer as we prepare our hearts now for worship. Let's pray. God of all hope, we gather today deeply aware of the world's grief and pain and our own. Send your Holy Spirit here among us today and comfort us with the sure knowledge that our Lenten journey has now ended, and it has ended in Easter joy. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 98, verses 1 to 3, and can be found on page 603 of the Church Bibles. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 7. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 7, and can be found on page 1000 of the Church Bible. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." This is the word of the Lord.
So since this is a kid-led service this morning, I should start by asking, are there any children here who would like to do the sermon? Any adults here who would like to do the sermon? No takers? You sure? Last chance? Try not to hit the beautiful orchid up here. Okay, I guess I'll do it. You're stuck with me again this morning. Let's pray before we look at God's word together. Risen Christ, the disciples were filled with fear and uncertainty, but you revealed yourself to them as the conqueror of death. On this Sunday after Easter, as we gather, some grieving, some fearful, some unsure of the future, we ask that you reveal yourself to us through your word and fill us with your spirit. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So, as I just mentioned, last week was Easter Sunday, right? Everyone remember that? Easter Sunday, last Sunday? Yep, good, okay. So we're going to continue to talk about Easter Sunday. We just read the account of Easter Sunday from Matthew. We're going to continue to talk about Easter Sunday, but I'm going to need some help from some of you, and maybe some of our younger members could help me. I need three volunteers. Do I have three volunteers? Preferably if you hadn't participated as a reader or something. I guess a reader's over there. You guys don't get to participate. So one, you, three, yep, go ahead, come up, yep. I don't know your name. Yep, you come up. Okay. Anyone else? Oh, we're going to have to start getting adults now. Okay, come up. Okay, I'll come to you. Okay, first tell everyone your name. You can speak in my mic.
Prene.
Okay, Prene. So I have here a pizza box. Right? Now, Prene, I need you to guess for me. All of you guys are going to guess something. And I need you to guess for me what might be in a pizza box. A pizza! Do we have a good guesser here or not? He says a pizza. Prene said a pizza. Well, let's see what's in the pizza box, all right? Prene, open it up. Let's see if there's a pizza in there today. Might be also nothing. No, there's something in there. Well, take a look. Show everyone. What was in the pizza box? A clock. Hold it up high. All right, a clock. Were you surprised?
No.
Yes. All right. Now, we have something else here. We have a suitcase. Who wants to open the suitcase? Okay, go ahead. Okay, can you say your name to everyone? Here.
Lillian.
Okay, Lillian. Here's the zipper. And then, what do you think? Let me ask you, what do you think is going to be in the suitcase, though? What do people put in suitcases? Nope, hopefully not that.
Clothes,
exactly. Okay, you go ahead. There's the zipper. Lillian's going to open up the suitcase now. Let's see what's in there. Oh, all right. So we have a... You don't get to keep it. I'm sorry. It's someone else's. But here, you may hold it for a little while. Okay, we have a teddy bear, right? Were you surprised, Lillian? A little bit? Yeah, a little bit, right? I mean, you knew it was going to be something silly, but... Okay, we got one more. One more thing now. Okay, so I've got a cello case here. Okay, my third guesser. Tell everyone your name.
Aaron.
Okay, Aaron. What do you think's in the cello case?
Cello.
A cello, exactly. Smart kid, right? These Swiss schools, it's amazing what they do. All right, so what do you think's in the cello case? You go ahead. You open it up. Let's see. Let's see what's in the cello case. Balloons. How about that? Were you surprised?
Yes,
you were surprised. Okay, thank you, guessers. Good job. You guys can go back to your seats. Better give back the bear, though. Okay, thank you. All right. So those were all quite surprising, weren't they? Quite surprising. Totally unexpected what those kids found in those cases, right? I don't know if you guys probably couldn't see this, but if you were up here, you could see the faces. Like, wow, this is kind of unexpected. Wasn't looking for that in the cello case, right? So these surprises remind me of Easter Sunday morning. Because Easter Sunday morning, too, was a morning full of surprises, right? Full of surprises. Did you guys know that Easter morning was so surprising? Well, it was. I would say that it almost, or maybe for sure, was the most surprising morning ever in the history of the whole world. It was that surprising. And let me tell you why. So we know that on a Friday, Jesus died on the cross, right? That's what happened on a Friday a long time ago. He died on a cross, and his dead body was put in a place that was a bit like a cave. They put his dead body in a place that was like a cave. It is also called a tomb, this place. And this tomb was probably a big hole in some large rocks. Well, on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus' friends came to that tomb, came to that hole in the rock, came to that cave, and they went there to prepare his body for burial. And guess what? when they got to the tomb, boy, were they surprised. Boy, were they surprised when they got to the tomb. That huge stone, there was a huge stone that had been put in front of the tomb to make sure no one got into the tomb. That huge stone had been rolled away. That great, big, heavy stone had been rolled away. It should have been there, but it wasn't. And what a big surprise that was. So that's one big surprise, but there was an even bigger surprise to come. As we read in Matthew 28 this morning, when Jesus' friends went into the tomb, they saw what? Does anyone know what they saw in that tomb? Go ahead, shout it.
Nothing.
Close.
Angel.
We're getting to the nothing. Yeah. The angel, exactly. They saw an angel. They saw an angel. We read about that this morning. Right in front of them, in that tomb, there was an angel. What a surprise to see an angel, right? It's not every day you see an angel. It's at least not every day I see an angel. That was probably one of the last places you would expect to see an angel. An angel in a tomb. Boy, never seen that before. So that was another big surprise at the tomb that day. There was an angel there. But next, an even bigger surprise. Not only was there an angel in the tomb, but, you can say it now again, nothing, right? There was no one else there. Jesus wasn't there. And what a surprise that was. Jesus was dead, so he should have been right there, lying in that tomb, but he wasn't. He was gone. Well, that was a big surprise too, yes? But now the biggest surprise of all. The reason that Jesus was not in that tomb was why? Go ahead, shout it out.
He was risen.
Exactly. He was risen. He was alive. Jesus had died on the cross. He was really, truly dead after being crucified. But he had come back to life. Soon, Jesus' friends would see him alive, just as alive as I am right now. And boy, would that be a surprise. That would be a huge surprise for them. Jesus is alive. It doesn't get much more surprising than that. This because, as I said before, dead people stay dead. We talked about that last week. They don't become alive and they don't walk and talk with their friends again. No, they stay dead. And so Jesus becoming alive again was a very, 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 very big surprise. It hardly gets more surprising than that. Now, on account of all those surprises we just talked about this morning, I think we can once again say that Easter morning was one of the most surprising mornings ever in the history of the whole world. Maybe the most surprising morning in the history of the world. Bigger surprises would be hard for us to imagine. But yet, I'm going to put my, in the United States, we talk about thinking caps. Have you guys ever heard about thinking caps? Might just be an American thing. No? Okay. So I put on my thinking cap now. Helps me think hard and deep. And now I wonder this, because I've been thinking about it. I wonder if we can say that in a way, Easter Sunday was not surprising at all. Not surprising at all. Zero surprising. And the reason I wonder if we can say this is because of who God is and what he can do. Now, I've got some explaining to do, so let me explain. Our God, he is a powerful God, right? Powerful God. He's God, after all, who created the whole world by simply using his words. He spoke, and the world came into being. That's pretty powerful, yeah? I can't do that. I don't think any of you can do that. Just say some words and boom, something's created. And of course, he demonstrated his power in other ways, or he has demonstrated his power in other ways. If we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, we read about God's power over nature, and God's power over armies, and God's power over animals, and God's power over sickness, and God's power over disease, and God's power even over death itself, because he raised people from the dead, right? So our God is a powerful God. So that's one thing to remember as we think about this, is not very surprising. But also our God is a loving God. a God who loves his people and will do almost anything for them. Time and time again, we read in the Bible how God shows his love to his people by providing for them and protecting them and helping them and healing them and blessing them and backing them and fighting for them and forgiving them. This all shows his love for his people. And so we have to say, too, that, well, not only is God a powerful God, but he's a loving God. And so I think that given that our God is such a powerful God and such a loving God, it's hardly surprising then that he would raise Jesus from the dead. Raising Jesus from the dead was something he wanted to do and something he could do so that we, his people, his beloved people, could live forever with him. And so he did it. He did it. In his love and by his power, God raised Jesus from the dead for our benefit. So you see, I think this is why that first Easter morning was at the same time very surprising and at the same time very unsurprising. It was very surprising because the impossible was made possible when the very dead Jesus was transformed into a very alive Jesus. But it was also very unsurprising, I would say. Unsurprising because our God is a powerful and loving God. A powerful and loving God who wanted and could make it possible for us to live with him forever. So today, a week after Easter, let's give thanks. Let's be thankful for a powerful God and a loving God who can surprise us in this way, but yet, not totally, because we know and we trust that he will always, always show us his love and power in whatever he does. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you are a powerful God and you are a loving God, so we shouldn't really be all that surprised that you raised Jesus from the dead for us and for our salvation. But nonetheless, we thank you this morning for that. We thank you we praise you for your power and we thank you for your love. And we pray that every day of our lives, we would acknowledge your power and love and trust in your power and love. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Depart from here today unsurprised. Unsurprised that our powerful and loving God can do more for this world and in our lives than we can ever ask or imagine. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you always. Amen.